It's a very different Easter, isn't it? You know, the things that normally make Easter Easter for us are just not the same today, are they? I mean, the reality is we're here on Zoom and we're talking to each other and we're singing together over the internet instead of close, having had hugs and laughing together and experiencing the time that we typically would on Easter. The things that we've enjoyed, like for Julie and I, we love our family gatherings. We love getting together in the Easter afternoon and having a large meal with family. We have really, really enjoyed things like Easter egg hunts for the kids and them getting the opportunity to go and search for candy. Those things just aren't possible this year. You know, it's hard to believe that in a couple of weeks, our world has completely changed. We went from gathering in large numbers to being in a place where we're told, stay at home. Don't go out if you don't have to. And for many of us, this is a stressful time. I mean, for me, I am so used to being out and among people. I'm so used to going to work. I'm so used to life being normal. And in times like this, it causes us to stop and to ask, what matters? How did I end up in this place? How are we here where we can't go? And there is this pandemic that has completely flipped our lives on end. And so what do we do? Where do we turn? Well, it's Easter, and that's a time of rejoicing because it's a time of resurrection. It's a time of hope. It's a time of life. And so we should be excited at the resurrection of our Savior. And yet, as I sit and I think about coworkers that have been hospitalized, about a friend of mine who is currently in ICU fighting this COVID-19 virus, I can't help but think, what's going on? What do I have to put my trust in? Where can I place my hope? And it's times like this very moment, that we have to step back and we have to remember who our God is. You know, it doesn't pass my mind that as we are dealing with these things, it is also the time in which God's people, the Israelites, celebrated Passover. Passover was a very, very important feast for them because Passover was a time of great remembrance of who God is and what God does. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, it says this: The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share it with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frame of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boil it in water, but roast it over the fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it until morning. If some of it is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt. your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animal. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you will celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. You see, God is our protector. God has always and always will look after his people. You know, did you realize that the children of Israel being in Egypt was actually God's way of protecting them? You see, when Jacob's sons became jealous of their brother Joseph, they sold him into slavery. He ended up going through many, many trials before finally he was placed before Pharaoh. Pharaoh had had a couple of dreams about cattle and about wheat that had left him confused. And so he needed someone to interpret these dreams, and Joseph was able to do so for him. Joseph was able to tell him that there would be 7 years of plenty, of great abundance, and 7 years of famine. And that if they were prepared, if they stored up in the good times, that they would be able to survive the 7 years of famine. And so during this process, God brought Jacob, also known as Israel, out of the land of Canaan into Egypt and settled God's children, the children of Israel, in the best of the land of Egypt in Goshen. Now, as time went on, things got hard for the children of Israel. They began to grow and to multiply and to become a powerful people. So much so that the children of Egypt, Pharaoh, became concerned. He became scared of them. He's looking and he's saying, look at all these people. They're becoming so powerful and so strong that if somebody comes in and coerces them to fight against us, they could overthrow us. And so Pharaoh placed the children of Egypt, or Israel, in bondage. And in this bondage, they became more and more oppressed. And the more Pharaoh oppressed them, the more they grew. Isn't that amazing? They became more and more, and they became stronger and stronger. And so Pharaoh finally decided, you know what, I can't do this. I'm going to kill off all of their firstborn. And yet, even in that, God protected them. God, touching the hearts of the midwives, caused them not to kill the baby boys. And when Pharaoh finally told all the people of Egypt, if you see a baby boy that's an Israelite, throw them in the water. He protected Moses. Not only did he protect Moses, but he put Moses in the house of Pharaoh to protect him from what was to come. Well, Moses would go through a lot of hardship that we don't have time to get into today, but you can read in the book of Exodus. But when he came back, when God called him to come and free the children of Israel, he protected them bountifully. See, during the plagues, God protected them. In the plague of the livestock, in Exodus 9, verse 6, we see that the children of Israel's livestock was not hurt as God was killing off the livestock. On the plague of boils that God sent amongst the Egyptian people, it was only the Egyptians who were hurt by it. He warned the children of Israel of the plague of hail that was coming so that they could keep themselves and their livestock in so that they wouldn't be harmed by it. And even in the plague of darkness, when for 3 days, Egypt, the Egyptian people couldn't see anything. God allowed the children of Israel to have light. But you see, the greatest protection that God provided for the children of Israel was the Passover lamb. You see, unlike these other plagues, this plague was a plague of life and death. In order to get Pharaoh to realize the severity of the mistakes he was making, in order to get Pharaoh to understand what he needed to do and how he needed to change, God had to take life. And you know, the reality of it is that death was the only thing that could sway him. You know, one thing about the Passover lamb and the Passover of God's people protecting them is the fact that it had to be chosen. It was something that they had to make a choice to be a part of. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 23, it says, "Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go at once and select animals from your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood and the basin, and put some of the blood on the top of both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door or your house until morning. And when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top of the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down.'" You see, in order for them to receive the protection that God had for them, in order for them to receive this Passover, they had to be obedient. You see, they had to pick that firstborn or that lamb. They had to create this environment that God had asked them to create. They needed a yearling lamb. This lamb had to be protected and kept for 4 days like a pet. It's kept close so that they could care for it, so that it was looked after, so that there was an attachment to this lamb. And this lamb had to be sacrificed. It had to be roasted as God had commanded, and its blood had to be placed on the doors in order to ensure that the destroyer didn't touch them, that it didn't bring harm to them or their family. You see, the blood of the Passover lamb on the doors of God's people was proof to the destroyer that the price had been paid. That the blood of that firstborn child had been paid for with the blood of the lamb. And as we see, all of the children of Israel in Exodus 12, verse 28, all of them obeyed God. All of them worshiped God. All of them partook in this feast. And so as things came about, and as everything was happening, when the destroyer came, it didn't touch them. It didn't touch them. It didn't touch their children. They were safe from the death that claimed Egypt. Brothers and sisters, Egypt was a place of mourning as all of their firstborn children died, as all of the firstborn of their animals died. It was so crushing and so life-changing that it was the only thing that caused Pharaoh to say, "Go," to the children of Israel. Now, reality is that Pharaoh turned back on that promise, and God led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. He led them to safety and protection. And as the Egyptian army followed after them, they were swallowed up whole in the water, destroyed and gone. You see, what Israel needed, what God's people needed, was protection through the blood. You know, the reason why Jesus died around Passover was because it was important for us to realize that he would become our Passover lamb, that he was going to die for our sins. You see, in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist declared it. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, just as the Passover lamb protected God's people from the plague of the firstborn, the blood of Jesus Christ takes away our sin and judgment from death. We, as God's children, are passed over from the consequences of the guilt of our sin. Paul said it this way in Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. He says, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith, for all of you were baptized into Christ, having been clothed yourselves with Christ." You see, the beauty of who we are, when we are baptized into Christ, when we die to ourselves, are buried with him in baptism, and rise to a new life, as Paul describes in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. As we experience this new life, we are clothed in Christ. We become children of God. We are his chosen people. Brothers and sisters, there is a day of judgment coming. There is a day when all those who are not right with Christ will be weeded out. Whereas Jesus told us in the parable of the wheat and the tares, where the angels of God will come and separate out those who are destined for destruction. And as they are looking and as they are going, when they see us, when they see God's people, they will see us clothed in Christ. And because we are clothed in Christ, when the destroyer comes to take away those who are destined for the second death, eternal condemnation, they will pass over. And we will find hope. You see, as John is greeting the churches in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, he's talking about Jesus, a greeting from Jesus. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." You see, because of Jesus becoming our Passover lamb, because of washing us in his blood, and because of his being born again, we have nothing more to fear. God is protecting his people during these times. Are there brothers and sisters who are sick and dying from this COVID-19 crisis? Absolutely. Is our world in chaos and disorder? Absolutely. But God, when darkness is all around us, is shining forth through us and using us to bring forth his glory. And God, having sent his Son to die on the cross, proved that death was conquered as Jesus rose again. You see, this is the power of Easter, the protection of God for his people. As Christ rose again, we know we too shall rise again. And no matter what the temporary trials we face, we have nothing to fear. Because of the love of Jesus Christ, you are loved and you are protected. And what a beautiful, beautiful blessing.